Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
So the topic I felt on my heart for tonight is identity. And I really just felt that strongly on my heart the last few weeks, even where I just felt like it's an awesome journey to be on with God, to grow in our understanding of who we are in Christ. Because it's amazing, like with salvation, when we receive Jesus, like we get this huge gift right at the start of our journey. And then the rest of our lives is like growing in our understanding what actually happened at salvation and how we just unravel, like it's a lifelong Christmas. Like we really get to just get to unwrap what happened, what he's done for us, and we just get to grow in that. And so so I'm not here tonight to give you like a 12-step plan to how to become a better Christian or to how to live a better life, but really just showing us who we already are in Christ. It says in James that the Word is our mirror, and the mirror is always showing us who we really are. So that's an awesome scripture. This morning we spoke about how to make decisions, and also last week, and that series really just blessed me how, because every decision we make in life flows from our identity. So that also would really kind of stirred me up to share on that topic tonight, because like our identity, everything we do, every decision we make flows from our identity, like who we think we are, who we believe we are. That's how we make decisions. If I see myself as a sinner, I'm going to sin by default. So, but I just want to show us tonight that like if we see us as saints, we're going to live as saints. We're going to be fruitful. And it's the same with everything else. Every decision we make is going to flow from a place of knowing or from who we believe we are. And it says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that's really, like that. When I read that scripture, that hit me so much that like it's one thing what God says about us, but then what do we see? What do we say about ourselves is like matters so much. So I just want to ask you tonight, like how do you see yourself in your heart? Like what is the image you have? Actually, I thought this also during worship. I'm not sure who it's for, but I'm just gonna share it and hope the shoe fits. There's someone here tonight, and you feel like you like secondhand or you used. And God's just saying, like, he made you brand new, and you're brand new, and there's no, like, you're not secondhand. I just felt that, so I hope it's for someone. And I hope just really with the whole teaching, I just hope that it's going to adjust or just remind you of your true identity in Christ, and it might be further down the road as others, but I think there's always, like, power in just reminding yourselves. Like Peter said in 2 Peter somewhere that he's not weary to write, to remind people of things. And I think it's the same with us. We need to constantly remind ourselves of who we are. And just, yeah, so I hope that by the end of tonight it'll become clearer or you'll be reminded. And so, yeah, because we can really live like with the fullness of God on the inside of us and still live like a defeated life. And it's, that's very sad. If I see Christians who live like I know they're saved, but they still live a life that's not maybe quite fully reflecting of who God says they are, and like not living in the fullness of that. So it's, yeah, our identity is huge. And I think it really affects every area of our lives. Yeah, like I said, with the salvation, we get everything up front. Everything gets given to us. Like it says in 1 Peter, like everything for life and godliness we have in Christ. And it's just the journey of discovering what we already have that gets us like to walk in our purpose. And it's the world is like really trying to chase after satisfaction, chase after things, looking for something out there, like Peter always said, just to look for something out there to fulfill them. But it's like with God, we have already arrived. Like we're already there where He wanted us from the beginning. Sure. Like He wanted us in Christ, and now we are in Christ. So it's mind-boggling. It's the upside-down kingdom. Like we're already there. So there's really like no place for striving in Christianity. If we live by what He says about us, then there's no, like not, we don't have to try to get righteous. We don't have to try to please Him. Like He's already pleased with us. So it's, it's really awesome. Like it says in Ephesians 2:10, like we are His workmanship. So it's just like the worship song also, even if we don't feel it, He's working. But that's really, like that's talking about our like thinking, like we're renewing our mind, and like we're already there, but it's just the stinking thinking that sometimes keeps us back from walking in the fullness, like living a successful life. And so there's definitely like a place for maturing and growing and all of that, but that's simply discovering who we already are, what we already have, which is awesome. So I just want to read a scripture from Romans 12:2 from the Living Bible. Says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how His ways will really satisfy you. I thought that's a really beautiful translation of that famous scripture, like to be a living sacrifice and to renew our minds to the truth. And then I really like how it puts it, like to not copy the behavior and customs of the world. And I think that's really like the Christian walk is a journey of renewing our minds to our true identity, like I said, and to really know that we don't no longer have to live like the world. We can live like a new person, which we are in Christ. So it's, we don't have to copy the world anymore. We don't have to copy the way the world lives. And then it goes on to say, then you will learn from your own experience how His ways will really satisfy you. And I think for a lot of times the emphasis is, or for a lot of people, it seems like Christianity is the hard way, the suffering, the kind of like you say no to so many things, like try and please God. And like there's so much religious lingo out there, but I really like that translation. How it just says, like from your own experience, how His ways will really satisfy you. And I just want to look at that tonight just to see that God's, like we know God's way is the best way, and it's not even a way of suffering and of all that what has like a negative connotation with it, because I think the world is really there, the people are suffering. Like for us Christians, we suffer maybe from persecution, but it's no, like all the suffering we endure is nothing compared to suffering in the world. I mean, living with regrets or something like that. I mean, waking up in the morning with babalas, I mean, that's suffering. So I really want to just look at like how like God's way is the best way. And it's, yeah, so the world is always trying to live from the outside in, like looking for that bigger car, bigger house, and hallelujah, those are good things. But it shouldn't like bring the satisfaction on the inside of us. With God, it's really living from the inside out, living from our heart, living from our new nature. And like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creation right now in Christ. So no matter how you feel, you're already brand new. And so I want to quickly look at Ephesians 4. While you page there or go to it on your phones. I just want to say, like Ephesians 1, 2, 3 are the chapters that really go into depth with our new identity in Christ, that really describe your new nature in Christ. And so in Ephesians 4, he jumps straight into the fruit of what chapters 1, 2, 3 talk about. So it's really, just want to jump into it for time's sake, straight in Ephesians 4. But yeah, I would really encourage you to study 1, 2, 3 out more. It's really awesome. So just going to read from verse 17. This I say therefore, so like he says, therefore, it's because he already explained the new nature in Christ, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. And it goes on, and then, but you have not, skipping down to verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. He's describing the way of the Gentiles, and then he's telling us, like, put it off. And I thought that's really powerful, just to know that we as Christians, we still have the choice to put off the old, put on the new. And it's such a beautiful picture that, like, we don't have to wear the old rags anymore. We have the robe of righteousness, but it's our choice to put it on. And, because the old is gone. So if we, we don't have a reason why to go back to the old. It's a choice, but it's not about getting into works. Like I said, it's our mind, our thinking needs to be renewed, but it's not a thing of I have to do something to get better or anything like that. It's simply renewing our minds. And I really like how the message puts it. But that's no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it, and then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. I thought that's a beautiful way of putting, like, that it's God's work inside of us. It's not our own. Like it says in Romans 5:17 that through the abundance of grace, we're going to reign in life. It doesn't say through the abundance of self-discipline, through the abundance of striving, you're going to reign. It says through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So it says, like, once we know who we are from that place, we are free to live victorious in this life. And then it goes on in verse 23, and be renewed. So that again talks about renewing of the mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So yeah, this really, like, it's awesome that God gives us the choice. Like, we know nothing can separate us from the love of God. So no matter what we do in life, he's going to love us the same. But it's for us to have an impact in this life. Like, we get to say, like, we're dead to sin. We get to say, no, the Holy Spirit is in us to empower us to put off the old, put on the new. I think that's just a beautiful picture to look at it. And then I quickly want to skip over to Colossians 3, which has a similar theme. Colossians 3, from verse 1. It says, if then, or since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So again, it talks about set your mind on things above. Set your mind on, don't get distracted by earthly things almost. Just keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the fact that you've raised with Christ. And like it says, that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So it's not about what we see in the physical. It's about focusing what we have in the spirit. And then he goes on in Colossians 3. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. List all these bad things. And then verse 8. Verse, skip to verse 9. Do not lie. since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So again, it hits that same topic, put off the old, put on the new. But I just think it's an awesome way. Like, I used to take that as, oh, now I have to do this. Now I have to, like, make sure I put off the old, kind of just getting in that works mindset again. But it's actually, like, he's coming from, like, identity. Focus on your identity. And if you realize your identity, like, there's no desire. Like, God isn't into sin management.
Amen.
Like, he's not into, like, maybe accountability has some sort of fruit, has had some sort of fruit in your life, but I can just testify from my own life, like, God's not into sin management, and he doesn't Amen. Want to manage
Amen.
Bad habits, anything like that. Like, if the old man is dead, which the Bible says, then how come, yeah, how come, there's no, like, I just love that Afrikaans phrase. Like, it's just so strange. Yeah. But yeah, so it's really, so the old man has been crucified with Christ, and now we no longer have to live in any sort of darkness. Like Colossians 1 says, we have been translated from darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. So if there's any darkness in your our lives, then it's just wrong thinking that keeps us trapped in that place. And there's no, like, just renewing our minds to the truth is, like, transformation doesn't have to take time. Like, it can happen in an instant. Like, in a second, you can be transformed. So there's some people who say, oh, God's working on me, brother, like, for years. And then it's like, God's not missing the chisel. Like, he's not missing it. Like, he's not, like, transformation, like, that can't be an excuse to live like a dog for years, but it's like transformation can happen like in a second. Like, we can just, it's just shifting our perspective from lies to truth. And once the light is on, the darkness is like this. The light disarms the darkness immediately. So transformation is really like in a moment. We can go from a bad attitude to shifting our perspective on the truth, and then it's okay. Let's go for it. Okay, so, yeah, as it says in Colossians 3, it's just describing what the new nature looks like and behaves like. So it's not a manual for us now to go and try to live like that. It's saying you have that new identity, so now you can have those. Like, put on, it says in verse 12, therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. So that's the starting place. And then put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, all of those things. But it's really a place, our identity, and from that place it flows effortlessly. But yeah, at the same time, the word is super practical. So it's not a thing of, like, if I tell my wife, I love you, I love you, I love you, but there's no action attached to it, then there's probably questions from her side how true that is. So it's like God, like James tells us, faith without works is dead. I think that's not a heavy, that's super exciting, because the word is so practical. Like, he says, receive the word and then it's going to flow. Like, it's this, or he says, like, receive the word with meekness and then you're going to bring forth fruit. So it says, receive the word with humility. Oh, it's, you can read it up. It's James 1:21. I'm failing now to quote it, but And then let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:16 quickly. Second Corinthians 5:16-21. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. So that's an awesome scripture, just encouraging us not to look at ourselves in the flesh anymore. Like, not to judge others by the flesh also, but first and foremost, not to judge ourselves by the flesh anymore. Not to look at our actions, or not to look, like, focus on our identity in Christ. Like, he says, we regard, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, so when he walked on earth, people knew him after the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. So now he's no longer with us in the physical because he lives on the inside of us. So he's no longer God with us, but he's God in us, which is awesome. And then he goes on to say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So again, new creation. We just need to renew our minds to the what has already happened long or when we received Jesus. And we get that upfront payment and we get to discover life, our whole life, and get to discover more and more of that. Yeah, I quickly want to go to James 1 actually and to look at that. James 1:21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So again, that King James version, which, I know it's New King James, but the old King James version of that verse is really fun, really funny. You can look it up at home, but it talks about like the overflow of can't remember. It's a funny translation, but it just always gets me because it kind of sticks out. But you know, it's just also again that same theme. Like, put off the old, just receive His word. Look into the mirror, like He says in verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And then going up to verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So again, this is talking again about, like, the word is our mirror, the word is where we go to find our identity, to find out what has happened at salvation, what is who we really are. And it's no longer looking ourselves at or letting what we drive or where we live define us, but really just looking into the word and seeing what God says about us. Yeah, and I love that James 1:21, just receiving, receive with meekness the implanted word. And I think with meekness and humility, it's not a thing of feeling bad about yourself, but really just going to God and humbling yourself and saying, God, I'm not going to go by my feelings anymore, but I'm really going to, like, trust you to show me who I am, and not going by my feelings, how I feel about myself, but really to let God show you who you really are. And then, yeah, from that place, we really have the strongest foundation. So no matter what happens in life, we can say we are unconditionally loved. We are one with Christ. We have everything for life and godliness. And so there's really nothing that can get us down if we just have that perspective, which is awesome. So it's the tree of life living inside of us, and that we can constantly eat from, can constantly feast on His word.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.